Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross Hand Throne Ministries, and this is number 18 of our series entitled Sheridan on Romans. Well, we have come to probably the most important passage of Scripture. It is the opening up of the evangel of the grace of God. The evangel of God's grace begins right here in Romans chapter 3. Just grabbing my Hebrew Old Testament here. In Exodus chapter 19, we have these solemn words here regarding the law of Moses. It says in Exodus chapter 19, now, if you shall hearken, ye hearken to my voice and observe my covenant, then you will become mine. There is a big now in Exodus 19 with the introduction of the law of Moses. Yet in Romans chapter 3, we have an even greater yet now, which is the opening up, the beginning, the first words, as it were, of the evangel, the grace of God. Now, I want to pick up where we left off last time to kind of get our bearings. Romans 3, 19 and 20, it says, now we are aware that whatever the law is saying, it is speaking to those under the law, that's the Jews, that every mouth, Jew and Gentile, may be barred, and the entire world may become subject to the just verdict of God, because by works of law, no flesh at all shall be justified in his sight, for through law is the recognition of sin. And for those of you not aware, the word law in the Hebrew is the word to aim. In other words, you take aim. You pick up your rifle and you look through the scope and you're aiming at a target. The word law is the word aim. Now, the word sin is the word miss, to miss the target. So translate it this way, we might say, for through aiming is the recognition of missing. The very fact that you take aim and try to keep law to please God, to become justified, only proves that you're going to miss. The moment you take aim is the moment you're going to miss. And that is the point here of Romans 3. Now we come to verse 21, yet now. Here it is, yet now. And this is an important time frame. It is not until the Apostle Paul, this is the first time this is really committed to writing, but it's not until the Apostle Paul proclaims this that this is a fact. This is a unique teaching of Paul the Apostle of the nations, yet now. Now in verse 21 to 23, what we're going to look at today, we learn three things. It's the proper order, and it's almost the proper order everywhere we see in Scripture. Is first we learn about God, then we learn about Jesus Christ, and then we learn about us. Well, the first thing we do in these three verses here is we learn about God, that there's a righteousness of God, and then we learn about Jesus Christ, and it's Jesus Christ's faith, and then we learn about us, and we come in as believers. And that's the right order. God first, Jesus Christ second, us third. Now verse 21 says, yet now, apart from law, apart from human merit, apart from any kind of human endeavor, law of any kind, whether it's the law of Moses or any other law, apart from law. Now imagine Paul saying this. Paul was a Pharisee. He was, according to Philippians 3, is with regards to the righteousness in the law, he was found blameless. And yet now Paul is dumping all that. He's dumping his whole life's work for this message. And by the way, many people are going to have to be like that today. A lot of people are concerned, you know, when they talk to people about the evangel of grace, that they're going to offend people because many people have given their whole lives, their zeal, their money, their everything into a false message. And friends, just because you spent, you're zealous, just because you've invested time and energy into something doesn't make it right. See, Paul invested his entire life in something and now he's dumping it and exchanging his own righteousness for God's righteousness. Yet now apart from law, a righteousness of God is manifest, that's brought out into view. Now God was righteous, you know, he showed his righteousness in the past through judging and so forth. But here we're going to see it's a righteousness of God that is given to mankind. It says, yet now apart from law, righteousness of God is manifested, being attested by the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets, as it were, is now taking a spectator's seat. The law and the prophets will attest to this righteousness of God. And you and I aren't justified by law. But law can attest to this righteousness. It's a perfect righteousness. Yet now, apart from law, a righteousness of God is manifest. Yet a righteousness of God through Jesus Christ's faith. Not our faith, through Jesus Christ's faith. And this phrase, the same phrase is used in Romans 4:16, where it says that it talks about the faith of Abraham. Well, here it's Jesus Christ's faith. So apart from law, God's righteousness is manifested, and it's a righteousness of God through Jesus Christ's faith. He believed God. I'm going to read you a quote here on the Concordant Commentary. It says, the previous section, that is Romans 3, 9 through 20, the previous section found no one just but God himself. No one has been able to attain God's standard by doing good or keeping the law. How then may we become just before God? Only by becoming partakers of his righteousness. The channel through which we may obtain this righteousness is the faith of Jesus Christ. He alone of all mankind not only did good and kept the law, but he believed God even when he smote him for our sins. It is out of his faith for our faith. And it's Jesus Christ's faith that justifies us. It's through Jesus Christ's faith for all and on all who are believing. Now today, those who believe have aeonian life, and you are declared righteous if God has given you, if you believe in Christ today, and you're trusting in what he accomplished on the cross, you're justified. God has declared you righteous. Now we know from Romans 5 that eventually all mankind will be justified and vivified. But here in Romans 3, speaking of today, believers are justified. An unbeliever today is not justified. He will not be justified until the consummation. If an unbeliever dies without Christ, he perishes. He has no hope. He has no expectation in the coming eons, and that's something we need to get clear. And this is why, friends, even though the salvation of all is a marvelous message, our burden today is to bring people to Christ now, to become members of the body of Christ, enjoy aeonian life, and have an allotment among the celestials. This is why we proclaim the evangel of grace today. Well, he says, it's for all and on all the ones who are believing, for there is no distinction. For all sinned and are wanting of the glory of God. Now notice the phrase, all sinned and are wanting. We're lacking. We've all missed the mark. We've missed it. And we're wanting of the glory of God. Now that's an interesting term, the glory of God, and it's probably worth a study on its own. But the term glory is interesting. It has to do with impression, exposing the mind to impressions. And I'm going to look it up here for a moment. The word glory is the word doxa, and it means a highly favorable opinion and that which impresses it on the senses or the mind. God has revealed himself in Scripture in many ways, but mankind has fallen short of the revelation of God. He doesn't measure up to God, his character, who he is. And this glory is used other places, translated testedness. God has always proved himself to be nothing but God. He is holy, he's good, he's light, he's love. But mankind is wanting of the glory of God. He doesn't measure up. Now notice verse 24. Being justified gratuitously in his grace through the deliverance which is in Christ Jesus. Now, in verse 23, it says we're wanting of the glory of God. Verse 24 says being justified. And in the English here, we have a period. But I want you to note that there are no works or time that bridge the gap. The same moment we are wanting of the glory of God, we are justified. There is no process of justification. You don't become justified through a process of a certain amount of repenting or a certain amount of works or stop doing this and do that. There is no time gap. The very same moment you're wanting of the glory of God, the same moment you're justified. See, there are no works involved. There's no process. God justifies you as you are. He justifies you, as it says in verse 19 and 20. Your mouth is barred and you're subject to the just verdict of God. In that state, as a sinner, under the power of sin, you can do nothing to get out of it. In that state, God declares you righteous. Isn't that good news? Being justified gratuitously. Now, this word gratuitously is interesting. It's found in John 15:25, where it says, they hated me gratuitously. Gratuitously. They hated the Lord Jesus gratuitously. The Lord Jesus did nothing to merit their hatred. They hated him gratuitously, freely. In other words, he did nothing to deserve it. And now bring this over to us. We're justified gratuitously. We don't deserve it. It's gratis. It's free to us. No strings attached. Now another passage, I'm going to show you in the Concordant Version here, another reference to this word gratuitous, and it's good to get the context and see how this word is used elsewhere to help explain. The 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8, starting with verse 7, for Paul says, "For you yourselves are aware how you must be imitating us, for we are not disorderly among you, neither did we eat bread gratuitously from anyone, but with toil and labor we are working night and day." Now I want you to notice, gratuitously is the opposite of toiling and labor and working. You hear that? It's the opposite. Paul says, when I was with you, I wasn't a freeloader. I didn't just get free lunch from you, but I worked for it. Now in the natural realm, that's what we should do. We should work for our food. But when it comes to justification, it has nothing to do with toil or working or sweat or labor of any kind. Think about that. To be just, justification is gratuitous. It has nothing to do with your working, your toiling, or your laboring for God. We're justified gratuitously in His grace. There's the motive. The motive of grace is only found in the heart of the giver. God finds all the motive for justifying us in His own heart. It's gratuitously. And here it says, through the deliverance which is in Christ Jesus. Have you ever heard, and I have to say, if you're a teacher of the Word of God, a pastor, or anyone says to you that this is cheap grace, you look them in the eye and say, "You are a fool." It's the most foolish statement you can give. It's not cheap grace. It cost God His Son on the cross of Calvary. Don't tell me it's cheap. It's not cheap. It's gratuitous. It's free. It's free to us, but it cost the Lord Jesus His own life. It's not cheap. It's free. Cheap grace. Men just hate God when they talk like that. They hate God because they love themselves so much they think they're good enough and they want to earn it. Then when they talk about cheap grace and all that stuff, all they're really saying, when people start talking about cheap grace, you know what they're saying? They're saying Jesus Christ is necessary, but He's not enough. We have to do our part. That's what the cheap grace folks are meaning. They're not leaning on the finished work of Jesus Christ. They're leaning on their own works. They have to do something. Well, it's no toil or labor. There's no greater slap in the face of God than calling the work of Christ cheap. And so, friends, this is good news. We're justified gratuitously in His grace through the deliverance which is in Christ Jesus. Well, this is Dan Sheridan. We'll leave it on that note, and we'll continue on this subject again next time. If you have any questions, feel free to call me, 847-312-4676, or email me. Go to the website at paulsevangel.com and listen to these things for free, and go to our bookstore and get some of the goodies there. And if you want to help keep the program running, please consider sending support to P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Until next time, remember this, the closer you draw near to Christ, the less ceremonial and religious you will be.